There's a scripture. Again, when we use the word vicarious, vicarious means you do something on someone's behalf, in their place, on their behalf. So, sort of as a representative, but even more than that in a way, in their place and on their behalf. And so when we talk about the vicarious humanity of Jesus, Jesus came as the second Adam, and he undid what the first Adam did. And if the first Adam, if everybody who was born in Adam, because he represented all of us, we're all born guilty of Adam's sin, then as the second Adam, we're in Christ. And so he came in our place and on our behalf and got it straight for us. He became our human response to God. He cleaned up our record, and then he crucified what we had become and raised up us one with him. And that's the vicarious humanity of Jesus. And so when Galatians talks about 2:20, that we live by the faith of the Son of God, it's really true, that the burden is on him, not us. Our burden is simply to trust in who he is, to simply rest in the fact. But there's this place in the Upper Room Discourse in John. This isn't the verses that Brett read, but we'll start here. Where Jesus, in the prayer he's praying to his Father, when he used to have a microphone, it all just, there we go, Brett. It says in verse 17 of John 17, "Sanctify them in the truth. Father, your word is truth. As you did send me into the world, I've also sent them in the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth." Now, it's interesting. Jesus said, "And for their sakes, I sanctify myself." In other words, I live a set-apart life, the life of holiness in my humanity. "I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified." There's only one sanctification, and it's Christ's sanctification. His holiness, his otherness, his other lifestyle is your lifestyle. You've been joined to that. That's the vicarious humanity of Christ. You don't have to try to sanctify yourself. Jesus sanctified you in his sanctification. You've been grafted into his obedient heart, his surrendered heart, his life of obedience. So this is the scriptures that Brett read. "Now we know that you, Jesus, know all things and have no need for anyone to question you. By this we believe that you came from God. Behold, an hour is coming and has already come for you to be scattered." When the crucifixion happened, they would get afraid and be scattered. "Each to his own home. And to leave me alone, and yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I've overcome the world." So this whole thing about, because his sanctification is mine, his life, his relationship, his walk with the Father is my walk with God. And therefore, his peace is my peace. He said, "These things I've spoken to you, that in me, not from me, but in me, you have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I've overcome the world." So Christ is saying that he never walks in frantic mindset. He's never anxious or fearful, never gets agitated. He always is at peace. And because you and I are joined to him, we get to participate in his peace. Whenever you and I are living in anxiety or fear or fretting or have a frantic heart, it's because we're choosing to live apart from him. Not that he's left us, but we're living as if we're not one with him, that we've not been sanctified in his spiritual life. But that's what Jesus is basically saying. "I sanctify myself that they may be sanctified." He says, my spiritual life is not going to be theirs. But Jesus says that the world's full of tribulation. He didn't deny that. He said it. He said, but in me you have peace. And the verse that really blew me away this morning in my time with the Lord, verse 30. Now Jesus is at peace at all times in everything. Doesn't mean that he agrees with everything that happens. But he's at peace. Now we know that you know all things and have no need for anyone to question you. Most of the time, we have anxiety and fear because we're not sure what's going to happen. And we can't control everything. When we do try to control everything so we can have peace, but that's really living in anxiety because you're anxiously and you get angry and get frustrated and all that kind of stuff. But it says, we know that you know everything and that no one needs to ask you any questions. Now think about that. It's okay that you don't know everything because he does. And he's the one who can control anything. You can't. And so you don't need to constantly ask him what, when, where, or why. He doesn't need to explain himself to you. Because if he did, it might scare you to death. He told me that years ago. You don't want to know how I'm going to do this. Because if I did, you'd be scared to death. I thought, okay, I don't want to know. All you need to know is I know everything. And you don't need to ask me questions. You know, when some of the stuff that the community has gone through, what we as a church has gone through, last month or so, there are people who have lots of questions because they don't understand. But you don't have to understand. All that matters is that he understands. He knows everything. So the one who says, in me you have peace, and the one who says in the world there's tribulation, which means there's chaos, there's stuff that goes on, that one is at peace, and he knows everything about everything. He knows everything. And therefore, we don't have to run around having to get answers about everything. It's enough for me to know that he knows everything. And if he's at peace about it, and he knows it all, if he knows everything and he's at peace, then therefore I can just join him. I can just sink into that. I can just surrender to that. And be free from feeling like I have to know everything. Because I've discovered over my lifetime, because those of you who've known me for a long time, I tell you that my flesh pattern would be fear and anxiety. And I can, from expert experience, can tell you that fear and anxiety has its root in not knowing what's going to happen. Not knowing. And then being full of questions that you can't get answers to. But it's enough to me that he knows everything. And I don't need to ask questions. Because he's the truth. About everything. Doesn't mean he causes everything, but in the midst of it, he's the truth. And he will cause everything to work together for good, but he knows everything and he's at peace about it. Therefore, I can be at peace about it too, because we're one. Because his spirituality is my spirituality. Amen? Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.